All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The First Inning. And we have great news to tell you. And before we get into that, I'm just want to let you know, please like, share, subscribe. It means a lot when you like, share, and subscribe. That means that I'll get, you know, way up there in the algorithm, so it helps a lot. So please support the channel and support the live and Spotify by liking the like button. It means a lot. And always comment below, because even though the conversation is over, we can still contact on the comments, and I'll get back to you on your comment or whatever we're talking about. But we have great news to tell you. We have finally got Carlos Rendon back, and he agreed to a six-year deal with the New York Yankees. 6 years, $162 million contract, and the Scott, the Brojas Corporation, you already know, will receive a $5 million signing bonus and a $22 million salary next season, followed by successive $27 million salaries from 2024 to 2028. The deal contains a full no-trade clause and runs through Rendon's age of 35. So, ladies and gentlemen, he will be a Yankee for a while. And you know what? It's going to be a good squad there, because they're going to have him, Cole, Judge, Stanton, LeMahieu, Anthony Rizzo for a little bit, you know, and we'll see who else from there. You know, but they got a good squad right now. Really got a good squad. So New York prepares the addition with their record-setting deal for defending American League Aaron Judge as part of a huge offseason. So the guarantee ties that of Brandon Nimmo for the sixth largest deal of the offseason. Rendon will finish with the second largest guaranteed among free agent pitchers, narrowly behind the fifth-year $185 million Jacob DeGrom inked with the Rangers. So, I mean, we're talking big money here, big money. So it's the accumulation of the incredible two-run season. Now, the left-hander entered the professional ranks 8 years ago, selected by the White Sox with the third raw over pick with the 2014 draft. And the owner of a mid-90s fastball and a wipeout slider, he has regarded as a potential top-of-rotation starter who's quickly reached to the big leagues. And Rendon indeed found himself on Chicago's south side by the middle of the 2015 campaign, as he posted a 3.90 ERA in 304 one-third innings through and the end of the following season. So, yo, Bryson, what's up, man? So, happy Friday, and yeah, man, Yankees are looking much better with Rendon on the team. I mean, you know, what can they do now? You know, I mean, I still think, even though the Yankees got Rendon, they got Judge back, I still believe that they can still pull off some blockbuster trade somehow, you know? Because, I mean, I got reports right now saying Andrew Benintendi has signed with Texas Rangers for $5 million, was it? I got you right now. Andrew Benintendi deal with the Chicago White Sox for 5 years and $75 million. Woo! So $75 million divided by five, that's your breakdown. That's like what, $12 million a year, something like that? So it sounds good. It's good. He's got big money, Andrew Benintendi. So he's gone from the Yankees. So now, all they have to worry about now is guys not getting injured. and like Rendon, he has a few injuries on his list. Let me see. Rendon lost a chunk of the 2017 campaign to bicep brucitis. Brocitis? Never heard that word before. Man, I gotta get back to that one. Now he underwent arthroscopic surgery that September. He didn't debut until June the following next year, making 20 starts. Early that next season, Rondon was diagnosed with an elbow issue, and he went back under the knife in May of 2019. So right before the pandemic happened. Well, right at the pandemic, March, April, May. Well, a little bit after. I guess when the season, when he started ramping up for spring training to get the game started for to play in that July, he probably got hurt, and he went under. He had to go get Tommy John surgery, and he missed the remainder of that year, returning to the tail end of 2020 season for four appearances. So, what we're saying is he hasn't pitched that much in, like, I don't know how long. But last year is like the first time he had like 30 games or something like that. So in 2021, earning his first All-Star nod with an ERA of 2.31 and 89 and 2 outs. 89 innings and 2 outs. He looked on his way to a Cy Young Award when he dealt with some shoulder fatigue in August. Rendon only missed a couple of weeks and continued to pitch well upon his return. Although his velocity dropped towards season's end, and the Southpaw concluded with the years with a 2.37 ERA with a massive 34.6% strikeout percentage across 132 innings and 2 outs. He placed fifth in Cy Young battling ballot on the Cy Young ballot. So, yeah, he is, as you can see, he got hurt and then he worked his way back the last 2 years. So he's been pitching for the last 2 years good. So this is, and now he's worked out all those injuries that he has gotten. And he worked out those injuries. Now he's on his third year of recovery, let's say, right? And he should be good this year. For one thing, the Yankee trainers, the Yankee medical staff or whatever, they know how to make these pitchers go the long haul. They know how to make them pitch a whole season for some reason. They just know how to do it, how to get them warmed up so they don't get hurt. So, I don't remember the last pitcher with arm issues other than Burnett. No, not Burnett. I'm sorry. Trying to remember. Severino. Who had a big arm injury? Tommy Canley. He just got back with the Yankees, and he got Tommy John when he got hurt with the Yankees. I forgot what year it was, and he got traded away, and he's coming back with the Yankees now. So that's another guy back on the list that to look out for. I mean, I don't really know about Tommy Canley like that. Why would you get him and pay $11 million? I don't know. But they did, and we're gonna have to live with that. But can he pitch? Yes. He did? Yes. Can he do it now? I hope so. And he probably will. So that's the news on Let's get into other Yankee news real quick. Now, the Yankees have agreed to a minor league contract with right-hander Art Warren. First baseman outfielder Jacob Bowers, Boers, B Bayers, Bayer, Jake Bayer. I'm gonna go with that, Jake Bayers. I don't know, weird name. As fact indicated in the transition log as MM MajorLeagueBaseball.com, Warren's contract is a 2-year minor league deal that includes an invitation to the minor league spring training in 2024 with the Yankees. Warren, 30. He will be 30 years old in March. Art Warren, first baseman outfielder, will be 30 years old in March. Spent the last two seasons with the Reds and is expected to miss the 2023 season after undergoing surgery to repair a UCL in his pitching elbow back in September. Given the lengthy recovery period, the Reds non-tendered him earlier in the offseason and now latch on with a new club in hopes of rehabbing his arm and pitching his way to the Yankee bullpen plans in 2024 when he is back with a full strength. So this guy is hurt. So this guy is hurt. Art Warren is hurt. So basically, why the Yankees buy a hurt guy, I have no idea. I mean, he pitched his career's worst last year. So, huh. But that's a minor league deal. But it doesn't say what team he's gonna be on. I was looking for what team. Will he be on the Rail Riders? Will he be on Somerset Patriots? Where would he be? But he'll be rehabbing somewhere. I guess they just pick up these things. I don't know. They just pick up players just to have them. I don't know, or use them for trade bait. Another rumor is another rumor. The Yankees have interest in Nathan Eovaldi. Now I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I don't really I never really liked Nathan Eovaldi. I don't like him now as a Red Sox. And honestly, I wouldn't even want him back as a Yankee, to be honest. Right? Me change my view real quick. Nobody wants to see this. Let's take it up to section 405 real quick. Hit the button. Hold on. I'm coming. Hold on. All right. Right, perfect. So there we go. You have Yankee Stadium at your beholder. So the Yankees are in as of John Heyman of the New York Post reports that they will try to find compromise, but the Yanks will also be considering Nathan Eovaldi as a backup plan. So I guess now that the Yankees got Carlos Rendon, I believe now the Yankees are no way going to be looking at Nathan Eovaldi or putting him on this team. No way, no how. But there is still open market people out there. I think Noah Syndergaard just got signed with somebody. But you got Michael Wacha, Corey Kubla. He ain't coming back. No way. Drew Gronkowski, Johnny Cueto, Drew Smiley. So, you know, the Yankees got, you know, some people to pick up there. But the Yankees starting rotation is going to be Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rendon, Nestor Cortez, Frankie Montas, and Luis Severino. That's your five starters right there. Unless they want to go with a six man, you can go with a six man rotation and you can add Domingo Germán or Clark Schmidt on that sixth day. If they want to do that, I think I would do that. You know, to get these guys through the weeks. You know, and you have at least an extra day. At least, I always said this, do this in the beginning of the year. And then when it gets hot, you know, go back to five-man rotation. And then September, go back to six-man rotation, you know. Ending of August, go back to six-man, get ready for the playoffs. But Clark Schmidt, I mean, and Domingo Germán, if you put them into the game, I mean, they're liable of blowing the game, and you may lose that game because you have them pitching. I mean, they may not make it out the, I mean, they may make it out the first inning, but most of the time they haven't made it out the first inning. But let's say if you put them out there, they're only going to make it one or two innings until they get them. You know, once they get around the lineup the second time, they're probably going to start blasting them. You know what I mean? So, it's important that, you know, they have some strong pitching, but I guess you keep them. But still, man, Domingo Germán, I think his days are up as a Yankee. I think you bring him in the game when the Yankees are losing bad. That's when you bring Domingo Germán in and Clark Schmidt. When the team is losing and it looked like we ain't coming back, we got to save the bullpen, that's the guy you bring in for three, four innings and let him get blasted. You know? My opinion. So, so, the payroll may be an issue, right? This year, the payroll might be an issue because they want to stay under the tax threshold balance, which is $273 million. Now, by crossing the line, the financial penalties will increase, and the club will also see its top 2023 draft pick removed back 10 spots. Roster Resource currently pegs the club payroll at $250 million. CBT figure of $266 million. That's probably what they have now. Mega deal for Regan Rendon with modest one over Evaldi would send the club well beyond that third tier that could push them close to $293 million top tier, which others need around the roster, including left field and the bullpen. Whether the Yankees actually have an appetite for the rotation splurge remains to be seen. So, right now, we're getting Rendon. We're at $266 million, right? The tax threshold is $273 million, right? So that leaves us with $7 million left. I mean, we have a hell of a team. right now. Now the Yankees can make a blockbuster trade with somebody, because they, at this point in time, everybody wants to get rid of Aaron Hicks. Everybody wants to get rid of Josh Donaldson, right? Everybody wants to get rid of Gabriel Torres. Everybody wants to get rid of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, right? At this point in time, I think we're only going to be able to choose one, right? One player might be able to be traded with some prospects or something like that, or what have you, right? But who would it be? Do you keep Aaron Hicks, the strikeout artist? You know what? I'd rather get rid of Aaron Hicks, because Josh Donaldson, he's got a good glove. He's got good defense, but his bat is apparently nowhere. Just like Hicks, just like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, just like Gabriel Torres, their bats are nowhere to be found, right? So out of all those guys, I'd rather get rid of Aaron Hicks, because he plays the outfield and he still messes up. I was at the two games where he just looked at the ball and just sat there like buffering or something like that. You know how the circle? He was buffering, yo, over there. And then he finally picks up the ball and throws it in. And then he did that another day too. He almost did that. Next night or something like that. It was wild. So, like I said, I'd rather have defense before offense. Because the team that makes the less errors wins the game, period. Period. If you make a mistake, you lose the game. If we don't make a mistake, even though we're not hitting, we can still win the game sooner or later on a hit, because it's bound to happen, because we're not making any mistakes. So that's going to be in our favor, period. So it's always defense before offense. Always, always. And if you can stop that offense and give them no chance to score, forget about it. Eventually, you're going to win the game or score, because you're giving yourself chances. And that's what it's about, you know? But I'm gonna get out of here. It's a rainy day in the Bronx over here. And yeah, that's Yankee Stadium. For all we know it, we love it. I'm gonna get out of here. That's the latest right now. We're gonna come back to you next Tuesday with another good one, and let you know what's happening on the forefront. But as we know it, other than what we said, the Yankees have been silent and pretty much have done nothing since what we've been talking about. So I guess they're still weighing out their options. They're still talking to people. They have to talk to people. So until then, we'll see what they do. But until then, everyone, thank you for listening. Like, share, subscribe, comment below. Thank you to the people on Spotify and YouTube for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.